And I'd like you to turn to James chapter 5. And I received a text today from somebody, won't mention who, but it really fits what I've been preaching on, so I'm going to quote the text, all right? It says, "Pastor! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Pastor! Multiple exclamation points. I just got a call from a buddy of mine. His brother works on Wall Street. The globalists are planning a crash. A crash like 1929. They want it to happen before the midterms. He said there are strange meetings with the top of the top in investing." You know, it's interesting that that text was sent to me today because of what I've been preaching on. If you notice, I've been preaching on a specific prophecy. A lot of people don't know this is a prophecy. I've been preaching on a specific prophecy of the Lord in the book of James, chapter 5, about the money changers. The money changers. And what we're talking about here is that very thing, the money changers. And who are the money changers? Well, in Jesus' day, the money changers were the hypocrites, the religious leaders that controlled the people, and they controlled the worship in the temple through money. In other words, if you wanted to go to the temple, you had to trade your money in for their money. And Jesus overturned their tables and kicked them out. He didn't like it. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the control of money. Now, the Bible prophesies that it is not like the modern translations say the love of money is a root of all. It is the root of all evil. Satan has evil. What is evil? Evil is a conspiracy to harm. Sin is to miss the mark. Sin is to fall short of God's commandments, to break God's commandments. Evil, listen, is a conspiracy to do harm. Hey, listen up here. Look up this way. Evil is a conspiracy to do harm. And so we have people, they get together and they conspire to do harm. And the Bible says the control of money, the love of money, the control of money is the root of it all. And that is what Satan will use to control the world. You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about? Are you one of those conspiracy theorists?" It's not a theory, it's Bible fact. Ever since the fall, Satan has been conspiring to run the world. He is the god of this world, small g. We've looked at the activity of these money changers, all right? We've looked at them in Genesis. We've looked at them in Revelation 17 and 18. And what I've said was that Satan is working, conspiring to control the world. What does he want? He wants a one-world religion. You say, what's that religion going to be? Catholicism? What's that religion going to be? It's going to be Babylon. What's Babylon? Nimrod, Genesis 11. What's that? You're going to have a one-world religion, and it will be the worship of one man. And who will that man be? Not the Antichrist, the beast. He's a Gentile. The Antichrist is his lieutenant. He's the beast out of the earth or out of Israel. He's Jewish. He's an apostate Jew. The Pharisees were apostate Jews. He's going to be one of the chief money changers. The one world religion will be the entire control of the economy. And you will have to, in order to buy and sell, you'll have to worship that one man, led by the Jewish Antichrist. It'll be a Gentile. Behind it all will be Satan, the unholy spirit. The father will be the beast. The Antichrist will be like the son. The unholy spirit is Satan. It is the one world religion that is coming. Now, Satan is in a conspiracy to control the money to do this. And that's why it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said, "The mystery of iniquity doth what? Already work." But he who lets will let until he be taken out of the way. If you find out who lets, you find out that means hinders. He stops this one world religion, one world government that will be the greatest persecutor of God's people ever to come down the pike. That's why it will be that which brings in what's called the great what? Tribulation or great persecution. Israel is God's nation. They've not yet accepted the Lord, and during the great tribulation, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel will not have accepted the Lord as their Savior, and they'll accept an Antichrist like Jesus said would happen. He said, another will come in his own name and you'll accept him. I've come in my Father's name. You haven't accepted me. But they'll accept the Antichrist, the Messiah, and they will accept the mark of the beast, which will be a Gentile leader, and the Antichrist will say, you worship this man, you get the mark, you get part of this one world kind of a fascistic, communistic a government and economy, and you will have everything you need provided for you. Healthcare will be provided. It'll make Obamacare be dwarfed. Everything will be provided, and you'll have it, and you'll be able to buy into that system. That's what Satan wants to do. Now, I personally believe that in order to get this, you've got to get the United States of America to go along with the European system and the globalism. I don't think the enemy liked it when he heard Donald Trump say, I'm not a globalist, I'm a nationalist. Because you know what? God's a nationalist. He believes in borders, language, culture. You say, where do you get that? Genesis 10. After the Tower of Babel, God scattered that one world government. And he said, no, I want people to have languages, borders, cultures that are different. And that way he'll retard man getting together, because when man fallen and unsaved gets together, it's to bring in the beast and the Antichrist and the one world economy that's going to be against God and for Satan. That's the conspiracy. That's the mystery of iniquity. That's what's always working. But listen, God can break it up as he did with Babel. God can intervene. And so we've looked at the activity of these money changers. Go to James chapter 5, and we're just in review right now. And we said, verse 1, go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped together treasures for the last days. This is a prophecy. It identifies the money changers of the last day. Who are the money changers of the last day? They are ultimately those men that will control the money in the days of the beast and the Antichrist. They will control it all. And how do they do it now? What is building up toward that? It's called central banking. What does central banking do? Central banking takes away real money and gives you funny money. Here's funny money. It's a $20 bill. And it is a United States of America. It said Federal Reserve note. When you hear note, that means I promise to pay you something of value. This has no value. It has no value. There's nothing backing this. You see, the United States government in 1913 gave up their constitutional responsibility to mint their own coin with silver. And these dollars don't have any. You can turn these dollars in all you want. You can't get gold or silver for them. But wait a minute. What about the money changers? Look at James chapter 5 that I just read you. What's their money? It says there, verse 3, your what? Read their money. Verse 3 of James 5. What is it? Your what and what? Oh, gold and silver is their money. Have you ever heard the little motto, he who has the gold makes the rules? As I've said before, they have gold and silver. They have it and they're hoarding it. Why? So that they can be given the opportunity to create money out of thin air, which is not really money, Federal Reserve notes, central bank notes, not just to this nation, but to all the nations, and then charge you interest on the money that they create or that you create through them. It's like really weird. We've done that. It all started with Rothschild in the 1700s, where Baron von Rothschild, and the Rothschilds have over half of the world's wealth today. Now, it's interesting to me that we were going to have Hillary Clinton be our president. She was bought and paid for. You see, these individuals have the gold and the silver, and so they have the power to control governments. That's why it says in Revelation 17 and 18, the kings of the earth commit what with her?
Fornication.
In other words, they will sell out to her for money. That's what controls it all. And so, you see, that's why CNN is like it is. That's why MSNBC is like it is. That's why the mainstream media is like it is. That's why many of these politicians are like they are. The Democratic Party is sold out to this. That's why it's like it is. Many Republicans sold out to it. But you see, God surprised everybody, and instead of Hillary getting elected, a guy that's not running with these people got into power, and they want to get rid of him. They want to get rid of him. But it's interesting, all the airtime he's been getting before the elections. Now, let me just say something to you, and I said it before. I wouldn't be surprised if bad things happen to the stock market right before the midterm elections, because the plan is to get rid of this man, to get enough Democrats elected that will vote to get rid of him, to impeach him, to get him out of there. But let me just say something to you tonight. God disposes. Man proposes. And let me read you a verse of scripture in James chapter 4, this same book that makes this prophecy, and I shared it with one of the guys tonight. It says in James 4, verse 13, "Go to now, ye say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." Verse 14, "For whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Verse 15, "For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." They said Hillary's going to get in. Didn't the pollsters say Hillary was going to get in? Wasn't that the conventional wisdom? But what happened? It didn't happen. God heard the prayers of his people. And she didn't get in there. And I'm saying to you, the conventional wisdom is that in the off year, that the party that is out of the presidency is going to win in the off year elections. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm not surprised of things happening with the stock market, because these people that control this Federal Reserve System have inroads in the corporations, and these people are planning to bring down the stock market. Why? So that the people will vote for the party out of power, get rid of the president. I don't know about you, but I'm awful suspicious when I hear on the news today that somebody tried to get rid of CNN, get rid of George Soros, get rid of Hillary Clinton, get rid of Bill Clinton, all these people, Maxine Waters, all these people. Isn't it interesting? But nobody got hurt. That's interesting. When there's false flags against good people, they get hurt. Nobody got hurt here. Now, let me say, I don't know who did this or what, and I'm totally against vigilante justice. It's wrong. But I also am against false flags. And I'll just give you one verse tonight. Be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, this is a prophecy about what's going to happen, and we've looked at the identity of these money changers. So this is all review. Secondly, last time we looked at the activity of these money changers, And just go to verse 4 again. It says in verse 4, chapter 5, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them that have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." What's this talking about? When you control these Federal Reserve notes and you have the gold and the silver, you can do what they have done. And what have they done? They've created booms and busts. The stock market will crash, and when it crashes, people who are in debt to the banks have to sell their houses, and these people take back all the assets that people have gotten through their money-changing system, their interest usury system. They take it all back. And so we've been trying Financial Peace University to get out of that system, by the way, to get out of a credit score. We can tell you how to get out of a credit score so you don't have one anymore. And you could fund all your stuff. And there's other ways to do it than that system. By the way, can I say something? When it talks about fraud, this is what we're talking about. This whole money system is built on fraud. I believe that the president wants to get rid of the federal, Federal Reserve, which is not federal. It's international bankers. It's a foreign entity. I believe he wants to get rid of it. And we should pray that he can. Andrew Jackson got rid of it. They tried to shoot him twice, but he tried to get rid of it. Gaddafi tried to get rid of it, even though he's a dictator, not a good man necessarily, but he tried to get rid of it. He's dead. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama made sure. And then Saddam Hussein tried to get rid of it. He had to try to have a gold-backed currency. He's dead. Kennedy tried to get rid of it. He's dead. They kill people. You say, where's that? Well, read it in your Bible. It says right here, I believe it's here. It says in verse 6, "Ye have condemned and what? You've what? You've killed! And you've condemned." Now, that's not right. Now, I don't believe in vigilante justice, but I believe in the courts and judges and the Constitution, and I believe some of these people are crooked and ought to be arrested and tried with uniform military code of justice for treason against the Constitution of the United States. And you say, well, Pastor, you have no power to do that. No, but God has the power to do that. All I have is freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the call of God to preach. But I want to tell you, I have prayer too, and so do you. And this is no time to sleep. He doesn't resist you, but he can pray to a God that can bring down justice. And mark my words, I am saying to you, this prophecy is talking about a time, I believe it looks forward to the great tribulation. I believe it looks forward to Daniel's 70th week, when this one world government will conquer all the nations of the world. All the nations will be under the control of this one world government and this one world economy. And he does not resist you. In other words, he doesn't take the mark, and therefore he's arrested and killed unless God preserves him alive somehow supernaturally. That's where this is going. You say, well, when will this happen? When will this end time happen and the great tribulation happen? I thought it would be very soon, maybe 2020, 2021. But when Donald Trump was elected, God intervened. And he said, not so fast. The United States is going to have an opportunity to be free again for a time so that God's people can bring in the harvest. What are you going to do with the opportunity that you're given? You see the activity of these money changers. We've been highlighting it from James. We're talking about a history. We're talking about prophecy. We're talking about what's happening right now in the news, present tense. I'm giving you direction from the Bible. But what are you going to do? I believe we're going to gather in a harvest. Amen? And God's going to give us the open door. And I want to just encourage you that these individuals want to get rid of Donald Trump. They want to. But listen, I believe God will intervene and God will protect, and they're going to get it. All these shenanigans are not going to succeed, but God's people need to be praying. God's people, we should have a day of prayer and fasting November the 5th. God's people should, and right now people are electing, and I don't believe these people like it when they hear word of Republicans being elected. By the way, it's real simple, Republican or Democrat. This year you don't vote for a Democrat. Very simple. I just keep it simple. I'm not even handing out voters' guides. Now, I'm just saying to you that it's time for us, the army of God, to arise. You say, well, how do I arise? Two ways. You arise and give the gospel and gather in the harvest, and you arise and do take your constitutional responsibility and do it. And this is our challenge. And so we've looked at their activity. Now tonight I want to conclude the prophecy about the defeatability of these money changers. And I want you to look at verse 7 and 8. It says there, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, this prophecy is specifically talking to the future, and it's talking to believers at the second coming of Jesus Christ, just before the second coming. And what comes just before the Lord comes back to rescue his people out of this world? One of the men tell me, what is the event that immediately precedes that, Brother Eric? Great tribulation. Now, you've heard that God has not appointed us to wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. We're not going to be in that great tribulation. And they say that's the 7 years of Daniel's 70th week. They're wrong. Matthew 24 is very clear. The 7 years are broken up into three parts. Number one, Matthew 24, 4 through 8, the beginning of sorrows. Matthew 24, 9 and following, the great tribulation. And then Matthew 24, the end, talks about the day of the Lord's wrath. There are three periods to the 7 years. The great tribulation starts 3.5 years into the 70th week of Daniel. It does not start until then. And James is speaking of that period where the one world government is now in power. The Antichrist is calling people to worship the beast. The capital of the religion is in Jerusalem. The capital of the image of the beast is the capital of the monetary system is in Babylon, and it's there, and it's this powerful one world government, and believers during that time cannot resist it. Now you say, what's going to lead to that? Well, the one who hinders the mystery of iniquity is going to win a war in heaven, and then he's going to stand aside and let Satan, who's cast down to the earth, according to Revelation chapter 12, he's going to be cast down to the earth, and that will begin the great tribulation. And then his devil spirits, which are one-third of the angels, they're going to get inside of the images of the beast that are all over the world and will direct the activities of that one world government. It will be a spiritual thing, a wicked spiritual thing. And the Bible says, woe when Satan comes down, when he's kicked out of heaven. That's what Revelation 12 is talking about. What a period that's going to be. You say, but God hasn't appointed us to wrath. That's God's wrath. That's called the day of the Lord. That's after the tribulation. You say, well, what cut short the tribulation? Jesus said in Matthew 24, the tribulation will be cut short. Those days will be shortened, amputated in the Greek. Cut short, why? Cosmic darkening, Revelation 6, Matthew 24, Joel 3, the day of the Lord. Cosmic darkening. God will turn off the sun, moon, and stars. Not just a partial eclipse, total Stygian darkness. And boom, it'll handcuff the Antichrist and the beast and the one world religion. You see, Michael hinders it. Michael is the archangel protector of Israel. But in the middle of the 70th week, when he defeats Satan in heaven and casts him out, Michael stands at attention. He does not hinder him. He lets him come to earth and persecute the Israelite nation through the final revived Roman Empire, which will be the one world government of that day. That's what's going to happen. That's what this prophecy is about. That is talking about the fact that they will be defeated, yes, but the ultimate defeat is not through Donald J. Trump. It's through a greater anointed individual, a perfect individual. His name is Jesus Christ. But mark my words, Jesus Christ has arisen right now to help the United States of America. And you can praise him for that. He's just given us a reminder of his power. Satan has great power, does he not? Yes, he does. He's a hinderer. Yes, he is. I felt him this week. I don't know about you, but I felt him this week. But Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He has all power. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has the scroll of the wrath of God. And when he's ready to break the seals of the prior conditions of Daniel's 70th week, he'll break each seal and bring in the wrath of God that will end this world system during the day of the Lord. And before that, just before that, immediately after the tribulation, after the cosmic darkening, before the glory of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will gather his elect from the four winds. That's the rapture. And it's not secret. It's not secret. And I make no secret to preach it. I don't care who hears it. I'm going to keep preaching as long as God gives me voice. And I want to say tonight, lift up your eyes and praise God and realize that listen, God says, even to those people then, he said, be patient. He said, a farmer has a lot of patience. And you know what? I love the 40th anniversary. You say, why'd you love the 40th anniversary? You got so many nice gifts. I did. So much nice encouragement. I did. My wife did. But you know what I liked it the best? Because patience. Planting the seed of the Word of God and seeing it grow in lives. That's what it's all about. I'm just a farmer. I'm God's farmer. This is God's field. You're God's field. The Word of God is being planted in your life, teenager. What are you going to do with it? My wife is a 19-year-old girl, got the Word of God planted in her heart. Look where she is serving God all these years later. I'm 17. Look where I am serving God. What about you? I remember when I first heard the Word of God, I said, Lord, make me that good soil that brings forth. That's one of the first prayers I prayed. I wasn't even yet a believer. I said, make me that good soil. Make me that good soil. And he led me to faith in Christ. I just talked to a guy tonight. He prayed to receive Christ, right? Peter right there. Just pray to receive Christ tonight. Praise the Lord for that. Sowing that seed. Amen. And Peter, I want you to come this Sunday and get baptized, and we should warm this water up for him. Amen? Because it's cold. We're wimps around here. We warm it up and get it baptized. That's what God wants. And after you get baptized, he wants you to join the church and then go out and help us to bring in a harvest. Why? Because that's what this is all about. And I was looking at a verse of scripture in Acts chapter 2, 17 through 21, and I noticed it's a quote from Joel. Now, Joel is referring to the end of the second advent, down at the end and as you're coming into the millennium. But the apostle Peter, listen to me, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, takes it and he draws from that prophecy a New Testament Holy Spirit wrought application to the beginning of the harvest and the end of the harvest. And Peter lays it out using Joel's prophecy. And so let me quote you Peter's interpretation of that and application of that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, 17 through 21. And you follow. I'm going to read it. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, Peter's taking Joel's prophecy, and he's saying, this is applied to Pentecost. What God's doing here on the day of Pentecost. What did God do on the day of Pentecost? He poured out the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that the people of God had power to bring in the last day's harvest. He was giving that power to the church during the last day's harvest. And of course, along with that came the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God to do that last day's harvest. And he says, upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And that was talking about the day of Pentecost, the signs of the apostles in that period. But wait a minute, when does that last day's harvest end? Here he goes on. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The beginning of it's the day of Pentecost. When is the end of it? Cosmic darkening. You see, during the period of the wrath of God, that's not the day of salvation. That's why the Bible says, that's the day of wrath. That's why the Bible says, work now. You say, well, how about the tribulation? Even in the tribulation, Matthew 24, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations. When the Antichrist shall scatter people in Jerusalem and persecute the people of God, starting with the Jews in Jerusalem and going worldwide, so will the gospel also go out. And people that have never heard the gospel will hear it and get saved during that great final tribulation persecution. And then shall the end come, the end of the world, the day of the Lord, the wrath of God. You see, from Pentecost right up till the rapture, we are to go on. And boy, you talk about hindered. They're going to be hindered during this great tribulation like nobody's business. Some will be preserved. Some will be martyred. But the gospel will still go out. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has not been taken away during the great tribulation. You say, what are you talking about? Look at James 5. I want you to see this. He says in verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit and hath long until he received the early and what? Latter rain. What's the early and latter rain? The early rains was the initial pouring out of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. What is the latter rain? During the tribulation, the revival, the empowering of the people of God to stand. You say, how will I be able to stand? If you're alive during that time, there'll be a reviving by the Holy Spirit of God, the latter rain. And people that haven't heard the gospel will get saved. Many of them to be martyred. But that's how it all started, amen. Hey, this is just Bible. It's a prophecy. But you know what? This one world religion built on the love of money, silver and gold, which is the money of the money changers, funny money they give to the world to control it, creating booms and busts, slavery to usury, living in debt all your life. I thank God that we are free in Christ. And you can walk as a free man and you can live as a free man or woman as you follow the word of God. Gather in the harvest. And if anybody here tonight has an ear to hear, Jesus is inviting you to come unto me. I'm the door. You want to come into the barn? You can come in through me and you'll be safe from the storm of the day of the Lord's wrath. You'll not experience the fiery judgments of God that he pours out on the earth. You will be raptured to meet the Lord in the air. He'll send you angels to bring you up. And praise God, if you're still alive, you won't see the undertaker, you'll see the upper taker. And even if you die, dead or alive, you'll get there because he'll raise your body back up. It's great to be saved and serving the Lord. Praise his name. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about a great prophecy of the money changers. And thank God for the Lord who kicks out the money changers. I believe he kicks it out of our life more and more as we learn the word of God. And ultimately, the meek shall inherit the earth. The Lord will kick out the money changers from the earth.